Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Here on the Optimal Body Podcast, we are all about helping you optimize your health. So I'm going to tell you about something that Jen and I do every single day to continue to optimize our health and our movement, and that is being barefoot more often. And when we need to wear shoes, we wear Vivo barefoot shoes because it has been proven that wearing these shoes for a six-month period consistently will increase the strength of your foot by up to 70%. And that is insane. And I can speak from my personal experience. I feel like wearing Vivo barefoot shoes over the past 4 years, almost exclusively, has significantly helped increase the mobility and the strength of my feet. And that has translated to feeling more comfortable in squats, feeling more comfortable in lunges, feeling more comfortable just doing the daily movements that I need to do because I no longer have as many restrictions in my feet, my toes, and my ankles. The other best thing is they have these shoes for every single type of occasion, whether you're out for a walk, working out, going to a fancy restaurant, going to a wedding, if you're in water or in snow, they have it for everything. And I exclusively wear these shoes. So if you want to try your first pair or to add to your collection, go down to the link in the show notes and make sure you use code TOB at checkout to get our special 15% discount that our podcast audience only gets. That's the link down in the show notes, and make sure you use code TOB at checkout to get the discount and start living your barefoot journey. Let's get into the episode.
All right, we're talking about cool downs this week. A couple weeks ago, we talked about warm ups, what the research says, what we recommend is the best warm up, what we do ourselves. So we're going to talk about cool downs in the same kind of aspect. And when we're talking about, you know, cool down, I think the reason that it's pressed so much and that it is told that you have to do a cool down is really for injury prevention, is what people are trying to kind of do. Like, how do I properly recover in my body after I do an intense workout? And what is the best so that I help to prevent injury and I can perform as good as I need to the next day?
Prevent injury or reduce that soreness that we get after workouts. I feel like that's a big one. And in the research, I feel like most of them categorize these into passive cool down techniques and active cool down techniques or cool down routines or whatever.
Interrupting, talking about cool downs real quick, because it's not just about the movements that you do that are going to really help your body recover, but it's how we're hydrating and replenishing our body that is going to really aid in recovery. And this is why it's so important to get your electrolyte water in. And this is why we talk about Element so much on this podcast. We can really tell the difference in our body. If we go somewhere and we forget our Element packets, oh my goodness, I don't feel like I'm hydrating as much throughout the day, first of all, because my water just doesn't taste as good, so I'm not coming back to it on a regular basis. But two, I just don't feel like I have the energy to sustain me, especially when I do a workout and I'm sweating and then I'm not replenishing my body. It just doesn't feel the same. And I love that now my friends and family members of ours are saying the same thing. They can really feel the difference when they don't add Element into their water, at least one package a day. And if you, and this is what saved me when I was pregnant and breastfeeding a lot. Oh my goodness. In those early days, especially with breastfeeding, I felt like I was needing the water all the time. And everything I felt like I was using within the Element and getting the electrolytes, I really felt like my body was utilizing it all. And I felt so much better. So I really highly recommend adding an Element. If you haven't yet, please go to the link in our show notes or just type in drinkelement.com/optimal and you get a free sample pack with any of your purchase. So please go check it out. Try Element if you haven't yet. Okay, let's get back into the science of cool downs.
Passive meaning, I always think about passive stretching because we work in the movement space and like passive stretching is where my mind goes right away. But the passive techniques they're talking about are more like sauna, ice bath, massage. Breath work, massage, things like that, that you literally are doing nothing and things are passively being done to you. Foam rolling, would that land in active?
I think probably. That's more active. Yeah.
I think that would land more in the active because you're actually doing something. I was wondering, because I didn't see in the research anywhere passive stretching. Mm-mm. What category does that fall under? Mm-hmm. Which, again, is an issue with the research. We hear active versus passive, and we think one thing versus what the methods in the research are actually talking about. And then active techniques being a more active routine, whether it's a mobility flow, whether it's a lower version of the exercise you were just doing.
Yeah, if you were on a run
and you're just going, you know, now on a light jog for 5 to 10 minutes at the end of that. So what's best? Right. What's best to do?
I think what's interesting when we look at this as well is that in general, when we pull all the research together and we're looking at active cool downs, which is what is thought of to be like the key thing to be doing, right? I can even think of going to workout classes and, you know, they're doing squats and like arms overhead and breathing and lunges, and you're still doing active movements, but you're doing it in more of a low impact and cooling down type of way. But when we look at the research, and again, this is hard because active cool downs can mean many things to different people and to different exercise communities. In general, active cool downs don't seem to have any effect on injury prevention, first of all, and depending on the active cool down that you do, can actually have a negative impact on same day performance or next day performance.
And I think a lot of that really has to do with how strenuous is that active cool down that you're doing? And is it taxing the body further? And sometimes you might feel like you're not doing something as strenuous or, yeah, this is helping me like come down from the height of my workout. And I feel like that's what a lot of people talk about, especially if you have a really intense workout, you want to like slowly recover or slowly bring that heart rate and everything down. But there's not as much research to back that, where doing the active recovery, there are a few things that we want to avoid. If you're somebody who really likes and enjoys to do an active recovery, we want to make sure that it doesn't cause additional fatigue and soreness.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because one of the recommendations is it's less than 30 minutes long,
yeah,
which most of our workouts from warm up to active workout to cool down are
30 minutes
or less. And so I'm like, if anyone out there is doing a cool down for 30 minutes, good for you. And hey, maybe if you're a marathon runner and
have some friends that do a cool down for 30 minutes.
We for sure have friends who probably cool down for 30 minutes. But if you went out for a 10 to 15 mile run, okay, I could get jogging for 15 or 20 minutes to come down from that. Whatever, to each their own.
Yeah, well, that's where it is individual. Like if you like it, it's not bad, but just listen to these
if you
to
like
make
it,
sure that you're not overdoing
and
it.
And if you're doing specific activities, okay. The other one is make sure it doesn't impact your glycogen resynthesis, which essentially means like glycogen is the fuel we have stored in our muscles. Mm-hmm. We deplete that to an extent during our workout. And if the cool down that you're doing is continuing to deplete your glycogen, you know, storages or your glycogen fuel, then that's going to affect our energy throughout the rest of the day if we have too strenuous a cool down. And the last thing is make sure you're doing something that you enjoy make sure the cool down is something you enjoy, which hopefully the workout is something you enjoy. If you're not enjoying your workouts, I would always encourage you to explore and find things that fit best for you. But the cool down should also be something that you enjoy, because if psychologically you're just like, cool down, I gotta do it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be beneficial for you.
Right. It's not supposed to be extra work, especially if we know that it's not necessarily the thing that's going to help in injury prevention. Like if it is something you're hating, you don't need to do. What we can see, though, being a little bit more beneficial is the passive type cool downs, which I think is cool to see, because all of this is saying is like it's more for recovery in a sense of it's down-regulating the body. Think of your savasana at the end of a yoga session. You are literally laying down and almost falling asleep for some people.
I usually fall asleep.
So does my mom.
The few yoga classes I've done in recent memory.
But you're literally taking your body from this state of working out and being more active to now down-regulating the system and getting it prepared for relaxation and recovery, which is that's the whole intention of a cool down is supposed to be recovery. So if we really want to recover using some of these passive techniques like breath work, you could do that for 1 to 2 minutes. You don't have to do a long, you know, cool down session. If you do 1 to 2 minutes of intentional diaphragmatic breathing and laying down, feet maybe are propped up on something, and you're feeling your rib cage and whole like back expand and relax, and you're doing slow breaths, this can take you automatically down into a new state. Same with, you know, and this is where we then start to recommend stuff. Foam rolling. You have to use breath when you're foam rolling because we're not trying to fight and break up tissue. We're trying to relax and talk to the nervous system to downregulate.
So and there's this a lot is another of research tool. Behind foam rolling in reducing delayed onset muscle soreness, yep. in, you know, helping with some of the tension that might be in the muscles from the workout. So although it may not have fit into that passive category that the research was talking about, it's definitely not as active a no. cool down as some of the other things we're talking about, where same with mobility flows or, you know, doing a feel good mobility flow or doing some passive stretching.
Yeah.
Definitely on the lower end of the active things you can do to cool down.
Oh, yeah.
And along with breath during that mobility flow or passive stretching session, it's definitely going to help bring that nervous system down from yeah. the place it was at the height of the workout.
I mean, especially like if you did the roll into hip program with Jill and I, that was such a good example of a cool down because Jill used her massage tools to actually downregulate the body with breath. And it wasn't like getting into, you know, using balls and massaging and being like, oh, this hurts and like tension and all that. It was literally, I'm going to lay on the ball, open up my upper back and use my arms to facilitate a down regulation and vagus response within my body. This is a perfect example. Like I would do a HIIT, be so exhausted, do this 5-minute recovery. It was only 5 minutes and feel so much different within my body. So really, if we're thinking of recovery, if we're thinking of downregulating the body, there are such easy ways to be able to do that without having to do this active cool down.
But in reality, it's what feels best for you.
Yes, it's so individual.
And this is where, I mean, same with the warm-up. When we talked about the warm-up, yeah. this is where having the ability to explore your own exercise, to explore some different methods for warm-ups and cool downs and finding what over the next 24, 48, 72 hours or 6-week training program curve helps you feel the best, do that.
Yeah.
You know, don't let research tell you how your body feels. Explore a little bit. You can use research to maybe direct some of your choices.
Yeah.
But then ultimately, what makes you feel the best, the most recovered, the least amount of sore the next day? And those are the types of cool down techniques that we would recommend you pursue because we want you to feel your best. Mm-hmm. We want to lay out information that can, again, maybe help direct you to some choices or offer other options that you can try out, but find what works best for you. Thanks so much for listening into another PT Pro. And remember, we have the next Move to Improve Challenge, Strong Healthy Joints, starting up in a couple of weeks. We are in early bird pricing right now until Friday only, and as our podcast audience, you get an extra bonus discount using code OPTIMAL at checkout. So go make sure you check that out. We are focusing on strength, power, and mobility to create vitality, resilience, and longevity in your joints and in your body. We're going to have a massive community going through that in the month of March. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.